Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock. Sunday, May 26th, the greatest spectacle in racing returns. The Indianapolis 500 on NBC and Peacock. 33 of the world's fastest drivers go head-to-head for a chance to kiss the bricks, taste the milk, and claim their place in racing history. Experience the drama, the pageantry, the tradition. Live from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Indy 500. Sunday, May 26th on NBC and Peacock. Or listen on Sirius XM NBC Sports Channel.
A few days earlier, we had known like kind of the final, you know, four or five teams. We had an idea of who the final four or five teams were. So I had shirts for each team ordered just in case, you know, the situation arose. But we were trying to keep this so quiet that I didn't trust whoever at the packaging facility would not see my name on the package and put two and two together. And so I had my brother's high school friend order, use his credit card and his address, and he shipped the shirts to his house, and then he brought them over to my house so that we can make this all happen. So shout out to Doug and Joe for making this happen. I appreciate you guys. They're the true brains behind the shirt that I wore. It wasn't that smooth behind the scenes, I'm not gonna lie. Seeing my friend Joe try and figure out how to use Amazon was a pretty nice treat in its own right.
Well, that sounds like the premise of a wacky sitcom episode. Hey, Wally, you think you could get Lumpy to order me some T-shirts?
Right.
You know who Lumpy is?
No, I
you
don't
know. Who Wally is?
No.
All right, look it up.
Wait, wait. Yeah, what is – is that Wally? Is that Leave It to Beavers? What is it? Or no?
Yeah. Lumpy was his friend. Lumpy was his friend who wasn't a complete and total phony jerk. Eddie Haskell was the guy who was always very complimentary –
right,
the adults, but always had some sort of a scheme going
on.
Oh,
yeah, it was always, you're right. I mean, aren't you impressed I just pulled that out there? I mean, that was only, what, 30 years before I was alive? I mean, you didn't even bat an eye. You were just like, yeah, okay, good, you got it. Like, geez, that was pretty good, I think.
Pete told you.
No, I swear. No, I promise. He went in my ear and he went, bingo, out-of-date reference from Mike Florio. That's what he said in my ear.
I used to watch Leave It to Beaver reruns while getting ready for grade school. That's how old that show is. And by the way, Drew Locke still looks like grown-up Leave It to Beaver star Jerry Mathers.
Yeah, he does. I hear you
there. Hasn't changed. Looks more like him now that he's even getting older. Right. Okay.
Amazon got a free plug there, too, just to let you know. Well, good job.
Did he mention Amazon?
Well, he said they didn't know how to use Amazon. He had to like coach his friend how to use it and do those things. Would you pay attention to the show today? I mean, what are you doing?
I was too busy trying to think of a sitcom I could compare those wacky capers to where they get JJ's brother's high school friend to order the jerseys so no one at the Amazon facility puts two and two together and tells TMZ. I mean, come on. Is that a realistic concern?
I don't know. I mean, probably not. You're right. But he didn't want to tip his hand or have it get out there. That's next level thinking. I won't lie. You're right. I mean, that's like Mike Florio cryptic conspiracy theory stuff right there. I wouldn't expect that from a man like J.J. Watt, but he wanted to protect his interests and his little secret there.
And let me tell you, the more impressive effort by J.J. Watt, who could have just used his regular first name, and I don't think anybody would have put two and two together. I don't know what his first name is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something that starts with J, I think.
Right.
But The thing that was more impressive is preventing his agency, CAA, from giving Shefty or Rap Sheet the 5-minute heads up that counts as journalism nowadays, where you tweet it 5 minutes before it's announced by the player or the team. That's far more impressive than getting Lumpy to order the T-shirts.
Yes, it is. But, you know, when you're J.J. Watt and you've given that agency and whoever represents them a lot of money and you tell them something, they probably listen because they know there's a lot more money to come. They're going to ride this train, this money train. They don't want to mess that up.
Justin James Watt. So if you had seen, if I'm working at Amazon and I'm filling an order for an Arizona Cardinals T-shirt for Justin Watt, I'm not thinking it's J.J. Watt. Are you?
No, I'm probably not. No. And I would think that, you know, I don't know, when you just think of Amazon, I think of these gigantic warehouses that it's like, are people even boxing these things or are they machines? What's going on? I don't know. They got more money.
I think they individually box them.
They do.
I think they at some point human hands touch it, at least based upon Nomadland, excellent film that I watched the other night on a service that isn't Peacock, so I probably shouldn't mention it.
Wow, cheater.
It is a movie that's out there now.
Wow. Cheating on your significant
other. I
can't
only watch Peacock. I watch Peacock all the time, except when I don't. That would be a good slogan for a T-shirt that I could order from Amazon under the name of Justin Watt. All right, let's get to it.
Yep.
It's PFT Live on a Wednesday morning. Chris Sims, Mike Florio. Here's more from Justin James Watt on why he selected the Arizona Cardinals and how much gas is left in that 32-year-old tank.
The longer I looked at it, the more it just signs kept pointing back down here. You know, there's a lot of exciting things about what's happening down here in Arizona. I've always said in this league, you have to have a quarterback to have a chance, and there's a young, extremely talented quarterback here who can do big things and is going from year 2 to year 3 and can take an even bigger jump to continue to grow and progress and be even better. Then you've got DeAndre Hopkins, who's one of the best wide receivers in the league. I'm obviously very familiar with. You've got a defensive scheme and that's led by Vance Joseph, who I was with my first 3 years down in Houston when under Wade Phillips. And Vance runs a similar scheme to Wade, which is a scheme I'm very familiar with and very comfortable with and excited to play in. You've got guys like Chandler Jones and Buda Baker and guys all over that defense that are really young, excited guys, ready to get after, ready to fly around and make some plays. So I'm just very excited to be here. And I'm also not going to lie to you, it doesn't hurt when it's 65 degrees and sunny outside when I woke up this morning. So it's pretty nice.
Hey, there's been so much talk, excitement in the Valley about this, but also talk about how much gas you have left in the tank. So let's ask, how much gas do you feel like you have left in the tank?
A lot. A whole lot.
You know, the last time he was that short,
right,
with an interview question came when John McClain asked him something about one of the various games gone wrong for the Texans last year. And he was a little more perturbed then than he was yesterday, but you could tell he didn't want to go down that path of how much gas is in the tank. Trust me, it's a lot. And he left it at that. And I don't doubt that there's gas in the tank. I just, from a dollars and cents standpoint, building a team, allocating resources, how much do I trust that a guy who plays a position where you're in that car crash mode every snap and you have made a career out of being double teamed and banged around and injury after injury after injury. I'm not saying he's injury prone. I'm saying he's incredibly brave and courageous because he puts himself in those positions where when you have that big body that's being hit by other big bodies, you're going to get injured. That's a concern. That's a concern. And that's what makes it even more surprising that so much money was invested by the Cardinals in Justin James Watt.
Well, yeah. And you know, you talk about the car crash stuff and all that. Like J.J. Watt he's one of those defensive linemen that throughout his whole career, I mean, it's sellout. It's pedal to the metal. And when I say sellout, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, he sells out and puts his body on the line every play. You know, he'll put his body in, you know, compromising positions to dive, you know, three gaps to the right to try to make a tackle on a running back, or, you know, he'll go full speed and try to turn his body and split a double team and sometimes get smashed doing that. You know, that's the one. He's not afraid to put himself in those vulnerable positions. It's what made him great. Now, the thing about him, and like, yeah, your concerns and all that are real. There's no doubt about that. But here's, like, you know, the other aspect. You know, not to say he's like Tom Brady exactly, But for a defensive lineman, I mean, he's lives it. He's been on his game his whole career. He eats right. He trains right. It's all year round. It's never a thought of like, oh, I'm going to take a bunch of time off. I mean, he's always jacked. He's always in shape. We see the workout sessions on social media throughout the years and all of that. So from that standpoint, you know, there is good left in the tank. Is it going to be the good we saw 5 years ago where you just go, oh, my gosh, he's unblockable. Double teams, you can't even stop him. No, but it's still really damn good that he's going to add value to their defensive line, for sure. And I think we talked about it a little yesterday with just other things that he brings to the table, that attitude you see right there, the professionalism, and, of course, the work ethic with a young team that he mentioned is going to wear off on those guys.
Yeah, the leadership, the heart and soul of a defense that really doesn't have that one guy that stands out as the clear leader of the team. Another point that occurred to me after the show yesterday, we talked about it on PFTPM last night, Shereen Williams and I. This, to me, for the Cardinals, suggests that they're bracing for Larry Fitzgerald to retire because J.J. Watt fills that void of having statesman, guy with gravitas, NFL man of the year. It balances out having Larry Fitzgerald walk away if that's what Larry Fitzgerald does. We still don't know what he's going to do, but it's March 3rd, and he hasn't said. He's never gone this long without saying, and it won't surprise me if he calls it a career. But if he's out, you've got a Larry Fitzgerald type of a figure, kind of a respected guy that everyone looks up to now that takes the place of the guy that everyone looks up to who potentially is going to be walking away.
Well, I definitely think there's value in that. I mean, you're right. I never really thought about that or connected the dots, but that certainly makes sense. It does. But I think more than anything, I go back to it's a familiarity thing with the Vance Joseph, J.J. Watt, right? It's, hey, you know my system. Hey, you can sell my system to these guys. Hey, you know, show these guys how to work after practice and maybe show them how to get out early a little bit before practice when you start doing little technique things with your hands and all the hand fighting and all of those type of things. And there's a real need on their front seven, like we talked about, not only for, you know, an F the play up, a guy that can disrupt and do all that, but I think, you know, what you just already mentioned. Yeah, Buda Baker is a star. He's awesome. But he is young, and maybe he's not a rah-rah vocal leader type guy. Chandler Jones, I've been around Chandler a lot. He's an awesome guy. He can be a dominating force on the football field. But he's a quiet personality in the locker room and off the field. He's a great teammate. You love him. But I don't know if he's necessarily the guy that's like, hey, guys, let's get over here. Let me show you how to do this. And, hey, you could be better at that and do those type of things. And that's where I think J.J. Watt, the value along with the play, is real there. And the Cardinals do need that. It was definitely in a need of improvement in that area for their football team.
J.J. Watt talked about various other subjects, one of which is the guy who was left behind in Houston, the guy who would like to get out of Houston, Deshaun Watson. Here's J.J. Watt regarding his former quarterback with the Texans.
I love Deshaun. I love Deshaun. We speak often. He's an incredible player, but he's an incredible person. He's a special human being, and he's obviously unbelievably talented as an athlete, but he's also just a great person. And I tell him the one thing I want for Deshaun Watson is for him to be happy. He deserves it, and I want him to be happy. So whatever that looks like for him, that's what I want for him.
Well, what it looks like is not playing for the Texans. I mean, that is a very positive way of saying he should get traded because that's what's going to make him happy. That's one thing that we've established. That was the first storyline of the offseason.
Right.
I remember the day that I first caught wind of the talk that Deshaun Watson was telling his teammates he wants out. And that really kicked it all off, and it went from there. And that was just a few days after the regular season ended. So if happiness for Deshaun Watson is a trade, and it sure seems like it is, then J.J. Watt, ipso facto, wants the Texans to trade Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
That just continues to percolate. And you have to wonder how much seeing the press conference and seeing that J.J. Watt is with the Cardinals, how much more that motivates Deshaun Watson to just crank up
the pressure a little bit
to move the thing toward a boil.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a little bit of envy there from him when he's watching that yesterday. Like we've hit on this before, but you know, again, it speaks volumes to me, like volumes. J.J. Watt is literally Captain America. He is like an awesome dude, an awesome teammate. He is not the type of guy that lets it be known that he's not happy within an organization and do those type of things. You know, he's going to drink the Kool-Aid and do that type of stuff. I mean, you already see it right here in the press conference. You saw it the day before in the squat rack with his T-shirt on and everything like that. He goes all in on his team and tries to be the right guy. So for him to want out of there, I think that's like, it's like, red flashing lights everywhere. Like there's issues here and he didn't want to be a part of it. And now he gets to go somewhere in Arizona that, hey, it's another young stud quarterback who can carry the team. And we both love watching Kyler Murray and doing all of that. Hopefully they can improve on that side of the ball. And then the defense, like we've hit on too, it's got some young talent and things like that. But hey, last year they have to blitz too much and do those type of things to create pressure. And I'm sure Vance Joseph is like, man, I can't always keep blitzing and trying to find creative ways to drop out of coverage and do that. I'd like every now and then, you know, that my guys, my front four can just get to the quarterback, you know, and that's how you can beat the Russell Wilsons of the world and those kind of great quarterbacks. Can't always be blitz. So there's a lot of value here, but that Texans thing, I think, just speaks volumes to the issues there.
Chris, I also can't help but wonder whether or not J.J. Watt decided to force the issue because he saw what was coming generally and for him specifically. We're going to talk later in the show about guys who found out yesterday, veterans that we just assume are part of the fabric of their teams who won't be back with those teams this year because of this cap crunch.
Right.
Do we really think Nick Caserio was going to look at the roster, the cap numbers, the cash charges for all of the Texans, and not say, this guy.
Sure.
This guy I have no relationship with. I have no attachment to. I have no role in getting him on the team or keeping him with the team. This guy who wears number 99, last name Watt, Justin James, $17.5 million, that ain't going to work this year. And so J.J. takes the initiative,
right,
never gets squeezed to take less, and ends up with almost as much in Arizona. So the dysfunction is well documented.
Right.
But I also think it was smart to get ahead of what he probably sensed was coming.
Yeah, I don't like totally disagree with you there. I think that's it's a really good point. You're right. He got ahead of the game. I guess I could go two ways. I mean, obviously the Texans weren't like, oh, no, stay. We'll try to figure out something else with the contract. Yeah, they're a total rebuild. They got issues like we've talked about so many times. They got as many holes as any team in football. It's across the board. I will say, though, Nick Caserio, just in my time with him, and I think, you know, that New England way, they do like those type of players like J.J. Watt because it does help the culture of the football team. And you know, he is a legend and the things he can do and that value, like we've seen Belichick fall in love with those, you know, aging stars and try to come here and do that. So I bet you there was a little bit of a push and pull, but probably when they heard like, hey, he wants to go, they were like, all right. Yeah. You know what? It's okay. It wasn't a make or break player for our team at this moment. We have a lot of issues. Let's free up some money and see if we can't get some young talent in here and start trying to build something.
Yeah, I mean, it's still 17 and a half. I can't imagine Caserio wanting J.J. Watt at this stage of his career for $17.5 million.
Yeah.
And a point that I made last night on PFTPM, and I'm not trying to equate J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson apples to apples, because I understand. I mean, I'm not an idiot. There are many of other pieces of evidence that you could point to say I'm an idiot. But on this, I realize Deshaun Watson is not a guy at this stage of his career that you just say, oh, you want to be traded. Oh, you want to be cut. You want to be whatever. Yeah. We're going to give it to you, sure. No, they're not going to do it for him automatically like they would for a guy who's been a cornerstone of the franchise for 10 years and whose cap and cash figures just don't fit with where he is right now. But I'm convinced they could have gotten something for him from the Cardinals. I'm convinced if they'd have played it right. If the Cardinals are going to pay him, and we're still waiting for the final numbers.
Yeah, right.
Which the longer we wait, the more likely there's a little bull something in with the bull salad.
Yeah.
When we look at the full
deal. Yeah, I'll be interested
deal.
To see that or the other offers that he might have got out there. Yeah.
But well, the only thing that's going to be undeniable is the actual numbers that get filed with the NFL and the NFLPA, which haven't been yet, which, again, it's the delay is deafening. But when you're getting close to the $17.5 million on average, it tells me that and if the Cardinals were $4.5 million above everyone else per year because the other teams, multiple reports indicating, had him around 12. If you go, well, 3.5, 15.5, 2 years, 31, that tells me that maybe the Cardinals were sufficiently motivated to get this guy that they would have thrown something onto the pile, like in the way of a conditional pick for next year based on how many games he plays this year, how many games the Cardinals win this year, something like that. It underscores the favor they did for him because they could have gotten something. And again, Nick Caserio, he's not a student of the school of let's just do players favors.
Yeah, right. No, he's
treat
not.
Treat them like commodities that can be turned into some other commodity.
Definitely. I mean, there's two things there. You know, one, I expect that, Arizona paid him, offered him a little bit more, significantly more than the rest out there. But I think there was a real want, and you can feel that as a player when, you know, a team's attracted to you. So that's always feels good. We're like, wait, they're willing to spend more money on me. They're calling me more. They're more aggressive. Like, they really want me. You know, he's telling his wife, they really want me. Like, the other team's kind of like him and humming and I don't know and all that. So there is that aspect for him. And, of course, then there's the Vance Joseph, you know, connection. And he's telling the organization all the things he can bring to the table, J.J. Watt. So they're like, oh, really? Okay, he's like that and all of that. And then the owner gets it and he's like, well, he is J.J. Watt and Captain America. And, you know, 99 in a red jersey is going to sell a lot of tickets. And that's awesome, too. I like that aspect. And then the second thing I just say is, because you're right, I would expect they could have got – what, late mid-round pick maybe, something like that for a J.J. Watt at this point of his career. But maybe they just didn't want to deal with another PR battle and a public fight about, oh, he really wants to get out of here and please trade me and get me the hell out of here and do that. So they just were like, you know, let's just go. He's been great. We got enough issues on our hands here. Let's not have to deal with this in the newspapers and everything like that. And maybe that was an aspect of why they just cut it free and let it go too.
And by the way, and I'm reluctant to do this to you, and I don't want you to think I'm being
mean
to you. I know that if I don't do this, I am going to get email after email from the Simsism Brigade.
What did I say?
Out there. You said hemming and humming.
Yeah.
It's hemming and hawing.
Yeah, right.
Hemming and hawing.
Yeah, I knew I was close. I knew it didn't come out quite right, but the speed
You're
of the morning.
You're always close. You're always close.
Yes, I'm always close. 7:21 a.m. in the morning here on the East Coast. I can't get all my crap straight in my head, all right? Sorry.
You got the H's. H-H for J-J, hemming and humming. I actually like hemming and humming better than hemming and hawing. I don't know what hemming and hawing means. It probably has something to do with a boat out in the water or something like that.
Put it on my tab.
Yeah. All right. Also on the tab of the Arizona Cardinals is Justin James Watt. Rich Eisen had Steve Keim, the guy who got the deal done financially, on the Rich Eisen Show yesterday. Here's Steve Keim talking about the recruitment of Justin James Watt.
So that happened almost immediately in terms of viewing the game film. How long has there been an offer on the table from Arizona to him that he said yes to, Steve?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, the first offer was, I think, after a few days. And again, really, when you look at JJ's history, I mean, the guy's never been recruited, you know, a walk-on at Central Michigan. And the path that he's taken, I think it was probably fairly exciting for him to have a number of teams recruit him. I certainly pulled out all the stops, guys like our friend Frank Caliendo and Hop and even your new jingle, Blake Shelton.
Okay, how did Caliendo help? How did Caliendo help in this process?
He probably impersonated John Gruden and said that Steve Keim had interest and made some sort of funny deal. I don't know what he did, but you know, he was my son's flag football coach and a terrible one at that. But he He lives right around the corner from our facility and is a good friend, as you know, so he's always willing to help.
That's great.
Frank Caliendo is the closer, and it is officially official. There he is, Justin James, with his pen on the paper, signing with the Arizona Cardinals. God, I want to know what that contract says. Base salary, signing bonus, roster bonus, per-game roster bonus. I want to dig into that. That stuff I enjoy. I know that I may be the only one who does, but it just really, it's a quest. Pete says you are.
Yeah,
shut up,
yeah.
Pete. Pete, hey, Pete's kids, tell your dad to shut the hell up. but it tells me where the BS is. I'm always on the lookout for BS. After 18 years of practicing law, that's basically all you do is look for BS. And there's so much BS in the reporting on these contracts. I just want to know what it's really worth. I'm just curious what it's really worth.
I know.
Whatever it is, whatever it is, they got it done. Blake Shelton, Frank Caliendo.
That's awesome.
Kurt Warner, Jim Hart, Mel Gray, great Dan Dierdorf,
Great
Cardinals from the past involved to get J.J. Watt to sign. Not really, but if you pull out all the stops, it's a great point. He'd never been recruited in his entire life.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I don't think he was a walk-on at Central Michigan. I think he went to Central Michigan because he wasn't recruited by a Big Ten school and walked on at Wisconsin. The story about being the pizza delivery boy and all of that. I do think he went to Central Michigan on scholarship and played tight end and wore number 82.
Yeah, yeah.
And looked nothing like he does today.
Well, no. But that's, you know, again, there's a lot of stories like that or guys that are like that that just, you know, they continue to grow and become, you know, Neanderthal beasts late into high school, early college career, and all of that. And, yeah, it is unbelievable when you look at pictures of him back at Central Michigan compared to the human he is now, definitely. But I think that's a really cool story, and I think it just speaks volumes again to how much they wanted him. That just shows you. I mean, the fact that Steve Keim was, you know, getting Caliendo involved in all of that and having, you know, pulling out all the stops – there was a real wanting there, and I'm sure that J.J. Watt really felt that, like we just talked about, and that always makes things easy as a player, man. When you know you're going to a place that likes you, wants you, believes in you, it allows you to, you know, be yourself, and they're just allows you to go out and play because they know who you are. You don't feel like, oh, I got to do this, or I got to get a little better at this to prove that. You know, he has that instilled in him anyway, so now he's not going to feel like he has to prove that to certain people who don't know him in the organization.
By the way, 2007, Central Michigan, J.J. Watt wears number 82, plays tight end. Who wore number 27 on that 2007 Central Michigan team?
Wow, 27 that year. Okay, it's not Antonio Brown or no that
it is.
Wow,
play the horns.
Wow,
it's Antonio Brown. Yep,
man. So he was like a freshman probably that year or something, right?
Same team for 1 year, and I don't know why he wore 27. Although at the college level, far less anal than the NFL is about what numbers guys can wear. As long as it's an eligible number, it doesn't matter if you're a receiver, running back, quarterback, whatever. But number 27. Was Antonio Brown at Central Michigan, 82, J.J. Watt. They did not retire 82 for J.J. Watt at Central Michigan. They did retire number 99 for Marshall Goldberg of the then Chicago Cardinals, who played for the team back in the 40s, took a break for 3 years to serve in the Navy in World War II, then came back and finished his career. J.J. Watt talking about the number that was retired, unless it wasn't, 99. Back in circulation for the Cardinals. Here's J.J. Watt.
When I finally made the decision on Arizona, I looked at the roster and saw 99 was open, so I was excited about that. And then I later found out from a different high school friend. This is Evan. So my whole high school friends and everybody's involved in this. So Evan told me that 99 was actually retired and that Marshall Goldberg told me the whole story on that. So I said, oh, that's great, because he had a great story. So I was already looking at other numbers and options. And then this morning, when I saw the report about Ellen and her words that they would like me to wear it, I was touched. I was literally, I felt gratitude and thanks, because I thought that was a very special thing for them to do, and I'm extremely grateful for it.
First, we appreciate that Justin James Watt reads PFT, because that's where he, I would suspect, saw the report about the family member wanting J.J. Watt to wear the number. But, and look, I want to be clear here. I spoke about this last night. on PFTPM. Very candid with my beliefs. I've written about it, tweeted about it. I have no less respect for J.J. Watt for doing this.
Yeah.
I would have tremendously more respect for him if he had passed. I have no issue with the family of Marshall Goldberg for saying go ahead and wear the jersey, because you could say, hey, a lot of people know the story of Marshall Goldberg now that didn't. Fine. The team is in charge of the number. And my point is this. It's very simple. You know, life is complicated. Life is nuanced. There are very few things in life that are simple. And when you set aside a number forever, you're setting it aside forever. If you're not ready to do that, don't do it. Just don't do it. Be like the Raiders, who never do it. Be like the Cowboys, who never officially do it, although unofficially nobody's ever going to wear number 12 again because of Roger Staubach. But if you're not going to honor what it means to retire a number, then just don't retire numbers. It's not like they're the Yankees and have 20 numbers retired. It's Larry Wilson, Pat Tillman, and a few other guys who have never been in my kitchen, whose names I can't remember. And Marshall Goldberg at 99. And, hey, I didn't know Marshall Goldberg was from Elkins, West Virginia. I didn't know a lot of things about Marshall Goldberg. I didn't know he wasn't in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's not. They tried to get him in 2006, 7-ish, didn't get in. So, great. I know more about Marshall Goldberg. Football historian like you, probably happy to know that too. That doesn't change the fact that if you retire a number, it should stay retired. I mean, this is a precedent that can apply to any number that's been retired by anyone, because if there's a guy out there that you want badly enough on your team, Chris, you can make the exception. That you can say, well, and the family says, okay, what the hell else is the family going to say?
No, that's the,
we have a
that,
story about
true,
Steve
right.
Largent. He got squeezed by the Seahawks to give number 80 back to Jerry Rice. He didn't want to do it, but he said, it would have been small of me to say, no, you can't do it.
Right. No, the player, the ex-player, the guy that's had the jersey retired, you know, the family, you're right. That's the first thing I'll say. They're in a no-win situation. When that gets brought up and the organization just doesn't squash it, they really have no other avenue unless they're just comfortable of hearing the backlash and all that kind of crap and doing that. But I will play the other angle of kind of what you said there. You know, the Goldberg family, they might really be loving this right now. They might, you know, it's another way of, hey, look at grandpa and great-great-grandfather, and we're talking about him. He's in the news, and see grandkids, I told you grandpa was, you know, an awesome football player. Look at this, and now this guy's going to do that. So, you know, there is something there to that. I understand your point, but I do think that family could be saying that same thing as well. Now, you know, when it comes to the player itself, it's tough. You know, first off, players are creatures of habit. They are. You know, they're into, I'm blanking on the word I want to use, you know, but superstitious. Thank you very much. I couldn't get that out of my head. Way to go, Pete. Way to go.
You almost were hemming and humming there.
I was. I couldn't figure out what the hell that word was. Superstitious, though, is a real thing with a lot of football players in the NFL. And I'm sure was like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what it's going to feel like to play another number. I'm a Hall of Famer in 99. And there is that aspect as well. So it's a tough thing. I hear your point. I don't think it's a make or break thing. The number's still going to be retired when he gets done. It's still going to be there, you know, and he's going to have that memory. And I think there's some value maybe in the Goldberg family really loving this and the attention that, you know, the grandfather, great-grandfather is getting out of all this.
So 100 years from now,
yeah,
if the Yankees acquire some shortstop that wants to wear number 2, it's okay to say, well, you know what? You
know, I know.
Hey, everybody's learning about Derek Jeter all over again. So
hey,
we'll
listen,
go ahead and unretire.
If the
number
New York
two.
Giants and let's just hope that's never day never. Phil Simms number 11's retired, right? You know, hey, I might be the first jerk that goes, oh, hey, big time quarterback, you wanted to come to the Giants? Where nope, the Simms family has declined. I don't care about the social media heat. No, I might be the first if I get a say in that, and I don't want that day to come, of course, because I love my father very much. But yeah, I might be the first one to go, hey, oh, hey, yeah, superstar quarterback. Nope, find another number. There's lots of other ones.
But my point here is it's the obligation of the team to be the grown-up in the room when something like this is going on. And I was a little irritated about that yesterday. And when I start expressing my irritation and I hear things from people connected to the team like, well, you must really hate Michael Jordan then because he unretired multiple times. Like, don't make that comparison. An individual deciding to unretire is dramatically different from a team saying this number is forever retired until it isn't. And that's the point. And you could make this argument for any retired number, for any retired team. And you know what you could also do? You could see a situation 150, 200 years from now, whatever, another reason not to retire numbers. But let's say there's some rival baseball league that pops up to compete with MLB.
Yeah.
Some new brand of baseball. And they got some phenom that MLB has a chance at getting, but he has one request. He wants to wear number 42.
Right.
What do you think MLB is going to do 150 years from now if that comes along? They're going to say, well, you know, everybody's learning about Jackie Robinson again. Yeah, we retired the number for every team permanently, but, you know, yeah, the family said it was okay.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Mike. Mike, your point is very real. It is. It's certainly a good discussion. It's perfect for a show like this and social media and whatever else, but if the Goldberg family's cool with it, I'm cool with it, even though I know it's a tough situation. And you're right, it should be a little bit more on the team to kind of draw that concrete line in the sand and say, nah, we retired it. Let's try to find a new number.
I didn't like it when Peyton Manning put the squeeze on Frank Trpucca to wear number 18 in Denver. I didn't like it when Jerry Rice and or the Seahawks put the squeeze on Steve Largent. I don't like it. I don't like it because if it's retired, it's retired. And if you're not willing to make that permanent commitment, That is the ultimate commitment. That is truly and literally forever if you're doing it right. If you're not willing to do it, then don't do it. Mm-hmm. Just don't retire numbers. You can put the guy in the Ring of Honor or whatever the equivalent name is. You can immortalize him in some other way. But when you're setting a number aside, that's a pretty damn big deal. That's a hell of a purchase. That's a lot more than a house or a car or a marriage. That is forever. Unless it isn't.
It's not.
That's the key.
Yeah.
We're now at the point in the evolution of the sports industry that we realize when we retire numbers, there's always that little asterisk applied to it. We probably should take a break at this point before we get into other topics.
Okay.
We're going to have to kind of reconfigure the outline for today because we spent more time talking about Justin James Watt, brother of Trent Jordan Watt, and also Derek John Watt, who doesn't go by DJ. Why did he have to be different? TJ, JJ, DJ. That would have been perfect, but he had to be different.
Yeah.
I wonder if he hemmed and hummed about that.
I wonder, too. That would be interesting. I don't know how that worked out. Yep.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
At the theater, more than the movies come to life. Movie lovers march in and skip the line with digital tickets to the latest movies on the free Fandango app. Ready to grab some snacks.
Pick me!
And head to the best seats in the house for a night of romance, terror, and quality family screen time. Visit Fandango.com or download the app today for your ticket to the movies.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
The odds makers have not yet bit on the concept of Russell Wilson playing for another team in 2021. Our friends at PointsBet still have Seattle as the next team with which Wilson will take a snap, minus 1250. That means you got to bet $1,250 to win 100. Las Vegas next at plus 450. The Saints on the board at plus 750. Cam Jordan, longtime Saints pass rusher, drafted the same year as Justin James Watt, 2011, first round just like Justin James. Cameron Jordan was on ESPN's Get Up yesterday. The topic of Russell Wilson going to the Saints and the Saints' chances of winning a Super Bowl came up. Here's the conversation.
The last couple of years, you've looked at our defense. We've turned a page in our defense that have made us more complimentary towards our team as a whole. And the one thing we had been lacking, you know, prior to the last couple of years was our defense. Now, if you give us a guy like Russell Wilson, because Drew has retired, because he has deemed it so fit, I would take Russell Wilson in a heartbeat. That's, you know, it's a no-brainer.
Do you win a Super Bowl?
I think we've always been poised.
Do you win a Super Bowl?
So, absolutely. But that's my vision year in, year out.
That's what I'm waiting on. Okay. No, I like that.
Let's go.
I want you to say it, Cam. No, Greeny. Don't let him off the hook.
Yeah.
Cam, if you get Russell Wilson, do you have a Super Bowl ring?
I believe if Russell Wilson plays the way he did at the beginning of last season and he plays that way throughout the whole season, absolutely.
You know, they tried to get him to be unequivocal. And he ultimately was, but there was some equivocation in the commentary from Cam Jordan. First of all, we got to have the let Russ cook, not the let Russ crap the bed that we saw later in the year. Did you catch that?
Well, yeah.
If Russ plays like he did early in the year, all year long, we'll win a Super Bowl. That was caveat number one. Caveat number two was Cam Jordan's wired to always have the opinion that his team's going to win the Super Bowl. So Russell Wilson, Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, Drew Brees, whoever, he's going to feel that way.
Yeah, no, agreed there, agreed. I mean, yes, and, you know, he makes that, you know, like little comment about, you know, the guy that was on fire early in the year. And, you know, they didn't play Seattle this year. He probably didn't. I don't know how much he got to see them on crossover film, but I think if he watched, he'd probably start to realize, like, damn, you know, again, it's basic. It's simple. We know what they're doing. You know, we went up there with Teddy Bridgewater last year and beat them there in Seattle. So, you know, there's you know, more to it than just Russ crapping the bed. I don't like that aspect. He didn't crap the bed. They fail at times to help him out. I know you don't.
I agree.
I'm just pointing that out. But I do think it's interesting. And I mean, he did seem excited and light. You know, he lights up when he talks about it. And then I believe we've seen, you know, Michael Thomas, you know, have his little social media comments and things on that. You know, to me, it's just more signs that are pointing towards, like, the players, the things we've heard Sean Payton say, they all think it's done. Like, they're moving on. They have moved on, it almost seems like. But we just haven't got that final word of it's over yet, and I think we're all just sitting here dangling, waiting for that to happen.
4 weeks.
Yeah,
it's been
right
since Sean Payton with us when he was doing his pre-Super Bowl media rounds said we expect an announcement in the next week to week and a half. So somebody either had some bad information or was given some bad information. But here we are and we still don't know. And I don't know why. All I know is we don't know. And the Russell Wilson speculation is going to continue to persist. And I do appreciate that these star players have kind of gotten together and decided which days of the week they're going to take over. And now that J.J. Watt had Monday and Tuesday, we can get back to Russell Wilson on Wednesday and try to figure out what his destination is going to be. And also, will Drew Brees ultimately retire, Chris? Cam Jordan could find out the hard way if there's a trade done that he's not going to be there in New Orleans to potentially win a Super Bowl. I think all options are on the table if you're going to make the move for Russell Wilson, including if the Seahawks really want Cam Jordan, you trade Cam Jordan. He did not appreciate it the other day when I love that gif. When it came up on social media, the possibility of him being in the trade package. But yeah, this could be the ultimate be careful what you wish for. The Saints are trading for Russell Wilson, and you, Cam Jordan, have been traded to Seattle.
Well, there's definitely would be certain guys on that roster that you would think, yeah, they're going to have to trade up there. I mean, the Saints. The big thing that just comes to my mind, and hey, do I think Sean Payton would like Russell Wilson and his offense and do those things? Certainly, yeah. I mean, Russell Wilson's special, there's no doubt. But I just look at them right now with the state of their salary cap and all those issues. Wow, do they got to make some moves and stuff. I mean, they're like, they're in like way, way Troublesville right now. Can they make it all work and then take on a Russell Wilson? And that's where I just go, I don't know. That's where I'm confused, and I don't know if that really happens. And really, I don't know if this is a realistic thing altogether. I don't, you know, just because, of course, we know Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill and his what he brings to the game. And really, their team is built with that offensive line and Kamara and the things they can do to play some Taysom Hill football, to play that, you know, Lamar Jackson-ish, you know, we'll pull guards and get behind Taysom Hill and play that style of football. They are built right for that right now, this second. So that's where I just question it a little bit. I don't know if it can realistically be done.
Well, it all comes down to how much Sean Payton likes Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Right.
Because if Sean Payton really likes Russell Wilson, if Sean Payton feels about Russell Wilson the way that it's been documented he feels about Patrick Mahomes and felt about Patrick Mahomes and was ready to take Patrick Mahomes if Andy Reid hadn't cut the line by one spot to get Patrick Mahomes 4 years ago, if Payton feels that way about Russell Wilson, then you make the phone call to Seattle and you say, tell us what you want.
Yeah.
What do you want? Tell us what you want. Because, you know, I've said this before. They may want some of the guys you're thinking about cutting anyway.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, you want that guy? Oh, I'm not sure we can part with him. Oh, okay, if you insist. Just what do you want? Tell us what you want. And it may be that you're on the fence about this guy and this guy. And you're thinking you're going to move on from this guy. But the Seahawks want that guy. All right, fine.
Right.
You take that guy, we'll keep this guy. That's why if the Saints are ever going to do it, Chris,
yeah,
now's the time to do it so you can do it and either include guys that you're otherwise going to cut or keep guys that you would have cut but that you now want to keep because you gave up somebody else to get the deal done.
Yeah.
But if I really like Russell Wilson, if I'm Sean Payton and I really like Russell Wilson, I do it. And, you know, I remember, I know it feels like it was a lot longer ago than it was. Remember when we actually had highlights?
Yeah.
When we had Patrick Mahomes and we really broke it down.
Love
and
those
Russell
days.
Wilson. It dawned on me. There were simpler times. They actually weren't. It dawned on me that Russell Wilson is Patrick Mahomes without those hair on fire moments. That Wilson strikes so fast, you don't appreciate what he can do. That Mahomes, there's a buildup, there's a windup to it, and you get excited and you start to get on the edge of your seat. With Wilson, happens before you can get on the edge of your seat, but he's capable of doing a lot of the same things. It just happens so damn fast, you don't appreciate it. If that's what Sean Payton thinks, that it's, you know, similarities between the two guys, it's just a matter of putting them in the right offense, and I can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you tell, hey, John Schneider and Pete Carroll, tell me what you want.
I hear you. I do. I mean, Russell Wilson's special. He really is. I'm not going to say he's Patrick Mahomes right now, though. I do think there's a difference there. I do. I will say that, and I got no problem saying that. I think there is a gap between those two football players. So that worries me. Hey, listen, all the just in pure football, too, as much as Russell Wilson's awesome and all those things, too. You know, he is 32, 33 years old. He has taken a lot of sacks. I do think he slowed down a little bit running around and doing things like that this year. So, hey, there might be, you know, that aspect you have to balance if you're really evaluating him and doing those things. But when it comes back to the Saints, too, like, Mike, you know, yeah, you know, we know draft picks, they're going to have to trade that. You know, the Cam Jordans and the Michael Thomases of the world, like, if they were to try to trade them, I mean, that's still a ton of dead money on their cap. I can't imagine that. You know, so, yeah, it would have to be a really – creative formula. Maybe it's somebody like Marshawn Lattimore, and I don't. We hear Malcolm. They're getting calls from Malcolm Brown, and maybe you could package a few players along with a few picks and try to figure it out that way. Either way, the one thing I just feel, and you know, just from people I trust around football, it's over in Seattle. It is over. It's over. That I don't think Seattle wants Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson doesn't want Seattle. But can they just cut the cord and deal with it this year and then really deal with the aspect of, hey, we might have to take a step back here and not be great for a year again and try to rebuild it the way Pete Carroll and John Schneider want to And we know, like we've talked about in the past, that there has been wanting to of doing that before, a few years ago, with the whole Josh Allen trade rumors and all that, the first-round pick, first pick of the draft stuff. So I don't know. It's amazing. I can't believe we're here at this spot with Russell Wilson.
As someone who loves a good story,
yeah.
I'm torn. Because if you trade Russell Wilson, you have a hell of a story in the short term. But if Russell Wilson stays in Seattle, that's a gift that keeps on giving all year long.
Seriously.
All year
right.
long. All right, let's take a break. As it turns out, Tuesday was not a good day to be an NFL player named Kyle. We'll explain next here on PFT Live.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. This summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Welcome back to PFT Live. It was a rough day yesterday, and there's nothing funny about this, but it's always good to know in advance of March 17. That's the silver lining. A couple of Kyles released yesterday. One we saw coming, Kyle Rudolph,
yeah.
The Vikings tight end.
Sure.
Irv Smith developed last year. Kyle Rudolph, big cap number, been around 10 years. Not the kind of pass catcher with Kirk Cousins on the team that he was previously. Not a stunner that the Vikings chose to release him. I feel badly for him, though. He's a huge part of the Minnesota community, and
sure.
That's going to hurt the people up there. But I think he made it clear from his tweets he's still going to be involved. The one that was the stunner was Kyle Van Noy.
Yes, it was.
A year after the Dolphins signed him to a huge contract, it's rip the Band-Aid off. It's tear the name off the back of the jersey. Make the assessment. Is this guy worth what we're going to be paying him in comparison to what else we could get for this spot? And that's that. Kyle Van Noy out, and he wasn't happy about it, Chris.
Well, no, I'm sure he wasn't. It's surprising. I don't know if it's a surprising. I was shocked, too. I'm not trying to say I'm Johnny Know-It-All here. But once you start to, like, look at their roster, their team, and things like that, I think you can wrap your head around it. Van Noy, of course, is there. Hey, he's a good football player. Also, it's like, hey, let's instill that New England culture. He knows what I'm all about, as in Brian Flores, and he can help my defense and do all of those things. Now, you know, they probably want to get in free agency and make some big moves. Maybe the Deshaun Watson thing's on the horizon. You know, there's those issues. Let alone they got talent and some players at the position, and it's a position that I think Brian Flores has a knack and an eye for, as coming from New England, to find more guys that maybe are less value or they can draft and things like that. So I think when it came to that, they thought, all right, is the value really worth for what he means to our team and according to what we got on the roster already? And they had some guys come to the top last year and play pretty good at that position, and I think that ultimately led to him going.
No sacred cows in the NFL. It's a year-to-year proposition. Never assume that you're safe on any roster unless you are a true shortlist superstar. You can be gone at any given moment. We saw that yesterday, and we're going to see it again and again as we get closer to March 17. Full hour of PFT Live still to come. We'll be right back with Chris Sims, quarterback draft rankings.